What's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network? Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Planet Gridiron Radio on Voice America Sports with your host, Damian Anderson.
And as always, I'm joined by the one, the voice we all know and love, Roland Hill, and the colorful. And I do mean colorful.
Colorful.
Dave.
Only if radio you could see it.
Dave Lockhart. And we have some two.
They got to hate.
We ain't hating. We're loving you.
The two in studio. Well, what'd they make that from, bro? Huh? Yeah, he's sitting here with his pea green.
This is sherbet, baby. This ain't pea green. This is sherbet. Green, get it right.
Look like baby peas that they feed the babies with.
Man, look how light that is.
With a fever at all.
You can't get it this light, baby.
Coming out both ends.
Yeah, okay.
We got in studio with us one Ira Hill as well as Alex from Westwood High, paying us a visit. Some of our fans coming down to support the show. Got to give out love to them. But guys, we got sports going on in the world. We got also coming up in segment three, Jake Graves from
thejgravesreport.com.
He'll come and visit us like he always do and chop it up. So can you dig it? And we got Dave's segment sponsored by who, Dave?
Baconess. Come and get your hot and spicy poke skins. No carbs.
Nothing in.
But none but protein, no, but not a significant source now. But it'll keep it cracking lacking like these skins were.
So Baconess, if anybody from the Baconess is out there listening.
940 sodium?
Oh, yeah. Why do you think I'm drinking water? Why do you think
to
I need water?
It,
exactly.
I was going to say, if y'all out there, he is your number one endorser. You know how they fill it up every week, the disbursement machine?
Yeah, it's just waiting. No, that's mine. That's my aisle.
He is the only one that gets the Baconess. I guarantee that on this side of the West Coast. But anyway, we got to talk sports. Obviously, the NBA Finals is set. We have
got the Mavericks versus the Heat. All it is just what? A
3-point shooting in Dirk Nowitzki versus some athleticism and probably, arguably, two of the best players in the game.
Yep.
And I would say how Chris Bosh is shooting that intermediate jump shot, it's been pretty consistent and deadly, bro.
Yep. And it's a rematch from what? 2006, is it, or 2004?
But different players, obviously.
The only consistent player would be Dirk, and then you have
LeBron.
Dwayne Wade played for the Heat at that time, as well as Haslam.
Okay.
So they do have a little bit of experience.
See, you know, we talked
about when the trade happened
and all these guys went to Miami. We're talking about, they're stacking the deck, But, you know, today I thought about it. That's what you're supposed to do.
Well, you're supposed
build
to win.
A championship team,
you're supposed to try to win. Right. Everybody wants to hate and try to say, well, they put three of the best players together.
But that's what you do.
What do the Yankees do?
Yankees do it every year. Absolutely.
I mean, no one
What the Cowboys do in the early 90s?
Yeah, no one talks about that. Well, I mean, really, look what.
What are all the teams trying to do?
Boston does the same thing. You know, Boston tries to say that, you know, the evil empire, but remember when they won their first world championship, their payroll was the highest payroll of anybody that ever won a World Series. So I don't want to hear that either.
Well, look at Boston Celtics. They just did it.
They did it too.
A couple years ago.
That's right. Yeah. They took Allen and Garnett and infused them with Pierce. And there you go.
With Paul Pierce, and they won a championship the first year. But unlike the Celtics, do you think that they'll win? Cause, I mean, I'm not going to say that count the ship, you know, the ship before it comes or whatever, the horse before the carriage, all that. But I think they're going to win. I feel as though that they're going to win because they have more athleticism.
I want them to win.
Do you think that they'll have multiple championships?
Yes, they do. They will.
So if Dwight Howard goes to Chicago, will they win multiple championships?
They still will.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening.
Well, see, Chicago needs more than just Dwight Howard.
They need
a consistent two that
can
score.
Yes, they do. Yes,
they need a consistent two that can score.
They need a Chris Bosh of what you've been seeing. Who can hit that outside jump shot all day. I mean, he don't even have to take it to the paint. That extra stuff that Chris Bosh was giving you with that inside presence, that was great. But his what killed him was that intermediate jump shot all day.
He's a nice complement to the two. He is.
Yeah, and you haven't even really seen this past series, Dwayne Wade. He didn't have a good series.
Nah.
He tried, but he was off.
You don't have to when you got three. And then they have a decent bench, and let's be honest, Eric Spoelstra.
Was he off or was he just letting them play?
A bench? Dave, I wouldn't even say they have depth. I mean, and I love him. I mean, he's light-skinned. Well, he's from the U of A.
Talking about Bibby.
What's happening with the bro?
He's old. That's all it is. I mean, he's old, broke down, worn now. That's all.
Really? That's what it is?
Yeah, he's been playing.
I mean, come on. Kurt Thomas came off the bench last night and had a couple jumps.
Yeah, but Kurt Thomas
had, and he's Roland's age.
But the fact of the matter is, nobody's asking him to contribute on a night-in, night-out basis, and that's what you're asking the point guard to do.
And he's starting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you think he should be taking shots?
Bibby?
Yeah.
Only if they're wide open. Only if they're wide open, okay?
How do you see this? What do you see going? Six, seven?
I still think the Magic will beat them. The Mavericks. I think the Mavericks will win.
My question, my only concern for the Miami Heat is the size.
Right. And the depth.
Yeah, but
well, you can come back with Chandler.
Tyson Chandler.
You can come back with Haywood.
Even
you
Marion.
Come back, with Marion. They have a lot of length, they have a lot of depth, and they have a lot of experience.
But Dave, you said this a long time ago. They live by a three, they die by a three.
That is correct.
If they're not, and they've been pretty good shooting a 3-point, just jump shot, 3-point, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And as we know, when you're off.
You're off.
You're off.
But you got seven games, and they're not going
to
be off.
But you got three guys that are athletic that could hit pretty much get to the cup any kind of way that they want.
Well, I will say that they will score easier, which means they will exert less energy.
And I'll say this also, that you saw Chicago play pretty good defense against the Miami Heat. I don't see that type of defense from the Mavericks.
Well, no, they don't match up and play defense like that. No,
that's what I'm saying. I don't.
But Chicago is. Who is that? Oh, and OKC is not necessarily a great. They're not known for great defense.
And to me, what happened? What's the deal with Westbrook? I mean, does he look OC out of control on the basketball?
He's a two. Court? That's what he is. He's a two, not a one.
So
period.
So do we see a different game from Miami?
What do you mean?
Playing the Mavs. I mean, do they come with a different game than they played Chicago?
If it ain't broke, don't fix. They're going to play with
Dwayne Wade has hit some shots. He's only going to get better. Hopefully, whatever the shoulder, he has a couple days to rest up, get better. Mm-hmm. LeBron.
Are the Mavericks a different team? They're a different team, obviously, but are they?
They're a more complete team.
They're a team. So you're playing a team versus some athletes.
No.
What do the Heat have to do? Do they need to change anything?
Play some defense, and they can't hit jump shots. The Dallas Mavericks. Period. Point.
You're not going to stop Dirk. You just got to try to control it.
Who guards him?
It's going to have to be Bosh.
Really?
And it's going to have to be him or Haslam.
I don't think Bosh can guard Dirk Nowitzki.
Well, nobody can guard him. You ask me who's just going to be assigned to him, though. That's all, too. That's really what's going to happen. You know? But there again, who's going to guard LeBron James?
Or Dwayne Wade.
Right.
Or Chris Bosh.
Well, Chris Bosh is going to match up. I mean, they would nullify each other. No, Chandler's whatever. He's poop butt. He's been poop butt since.
But he tries hard. He's like the Joe Kim.
You know what? I try
Mavericks.
Hard too.
Right. And then, he's a Joe Kim Noah of the Mavericks, you know?
Yeah, and he's worse than him.
Think so?
Yeah, I like Joe Kim actually in terms of what they ask him.
He plays
him
a lot
to
of
do.
Intensity.
Yeah. What they ask him to do, he does it very well.
So what do you think the Bulls need to do to take to the next level? What do you think the OKC needs to do?
They need two.
OKC as well?
No. OKC's problem is you gotta determine, are you gonna keep Westbrook? Answer, yes, they're gonna keep him. Okay. Now,
do they want to?
Well, they're going to keep him. I think they are.
Do they get a true point?
Well, if you do that, you got to move him to the two.
That's what I'm saying. Do you get a true point?
You need a true two. I mean, one. You need a true one. But are they going to do it?
Who's the point guard right now for the Lakers? Who they got?
Oh, you see Steve Blake?
No. You got a ball head.
Oh, you talking about Fisher?
Fishy rim.
No.
Fisher.
Fisher by 9-2.
But he can go
by 9-2.
In basketball years.
Yeah.
Means he's 31 in basketball.
Lawyer years.
No, he's about as old as, he's close to Shaq's age, I would think. Somewhere right there. Maybe a couple years younger.
No way, man.
Yeah, he's got to be, well, Shaq's what, 38?
38, 39?
Yeah, he's about, what, 36, 37?
But how about, we got to give it up for Kurt Thomas stepping out on the floor yesterday.
Man, will you let that go? I mean, you are on the sacks of Kurt Thomas.
It's like 18, 17th or 19th year.
And?
That's a lot, bro. In basketball?
Man, please, man, whatever.
Kurt he came Tyler in there right off the bench.
For what they asked him to do, okay.
Doubles.
All right.
Doubles.
Going home. Summer vacation ain't like me.
So we heard. I heard some talking. I heard Colin coming in today, and shout out to Colin Cowherd on ESPN. But I heard him talking today, and they were talking about superstars.
He said like they were boys, didn't he?
They are kind of.
They are kind of. Yeah, exactly. They are now. Go ahead, my man.
Do you think that Derrick Rose, who are superstars?
Who are superstars?
Superstar. New guys, yep. New word.
A-Rod.
Why?
You mean within basketball?
No, I'll tell you what. I'll let you guys answer. No. I'll let you guys tell what a superstar is. And then I'll tell you my explanation. What's a superstar to you?
Michael Jordan was a superstar.
Okay.
That's who I define as a superstar.
No, you can't just say a name.
No.
Determines.
Well, what made him well, obviously, he was extremely good at his craft. Exactly. Better than everybody else.
Second.
Okay. Well, you're going to ask. So as he walks with a limp, why? He has to transcend just the game or whatever it is. Okay. Bill Gates is a superstar in what he does.
Okay.
Right. Well, A-Rod. A-Rod.
Why?
Well, he did transcended top models. He marries stars. He's doing ads. He's had his picture on many magazines, you know.
Okay.
So, I mean, everybody knows who he is. You
bank
know?
Account.
Bank exactly. account and swole. Everything. Swole. Everyone knows who he
obese.
Is. You know?
Right. Obese. Yeah. Obese. Morbidly obese.
For me, a superstar would be have to, like Dave kind of alluded to, transcend different genres, like movie.
Mm-hmm.
Film, like impact in that way, and that's what you saw Michael Jordan do. I mean, you saw Shaquille do that.
Shaquille O'Neal did it too.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Shaquille O'Neal was in Blue Chips, and you saw these guys make that. You don't see that too much anymore. Yeah, you see guys with national television commercials.
Household names.
Exactly. Household names. Well, I think that there are still. I mean, I still think you have Kobe. I think if you told a grandma about Shaq, people would still know who he is about the impact that he had. Even Michael Jordan, obviously, I mean, the impact that he's had in the
shooting. Maybe not the impact on the court or the field or anything, but the impact in pop culture.
Absolutely. Right. And that's what I'm talking about, a superstar. Like a guy, you see a guy in a music video, or you see a guy on TV, I don't know what the kids show is right now, but on, you know, Nickelodeon. Yeah, you see a guy in a
video. iCarly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You see Michael Jordan, or you see Dirk Nowitzki come on one of those shows. To me, that's what a superstar is, not a guy that goes out. Granted, there's several. I mean, look at Derrick Rose, MVP of the league.
Right.
And you see him on an Adidas commercial, but where else?
But he's in the Chicago market.
But that's it. Mean? But you think about it, Ro, that's a huge market.
In the Midwest.
Chicago's one of the third biggest city in the
Midwest.
The third biggest city in the United States.
It's not
Roland.
New York. It's not L.A. It's not Miami.
Yeah, but it's considered one of the major cities in the Union.
It is considered major, but in the Midwest, you know? It's just like Chris
I mean, more
Bush.
People watch the finals in Miami than they did in Chicago.
Right.
Because I knew what was going to happen.
It's not a
sports. That's what I was about to say.
That's a problem.
Good night.
Well, it's big news. I mean, that team is big news, and it has been big news all year.
I mean, do you think that we'll see what we did back in the early 90s, late 80s of those mega superstars coming back? Do you see more guys will transcend in the sports? I mean, think about it. Dave always talks about Jim Brown. I mean, his ability to cross over in the film and end his career. I mean, God, we don't see that anymore. And
I don't see a person like that right now on the horizon for us.
Do you think that they're just so gifted athletically they can't make that transition?
It may be that, or it also may be the fact that they make so much. That's what I was about to say.
They're so locked into what they're doing. You know, they don't have the, you know, now a football player trains year round to play.
So does a basketball player.
Right. And before it was like, season's over, let me go do something.
Get a job. Find another job.
Exactly.
Well, that's because you were making $15,000 a year, you know. Now that you make so much money, there's not necessarily a need for that. And let's be quite honest,
we got 2 minutes. But think about it. We got guys like Ocho Cinco.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, who love the media. I mean, trying to do everything to get his name seen.
He has to.
You got the Ocho Cinco reality show. You got him trying to play soccer, bull riding, everything. To me, just making a fool of himself.
But he
knows that he's irrelevant after he's done playing football.
Right.
That's why.
Right.
And so he's attempting, I guess, to cast himself so he doesn't become irrelevant.
I could see him on television. I could see him doing shows.
I wouldn't give him a show. You know, why?
I mean,
after he stops playing, you would really watch?
Yeah, if he was in a movie or something, I would.
What could he offer?
Who's that guy that lived out here? He fought the dogs. He was a rapper.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about DMX. Earl Simmons, DMX.
DMX, yeah, you know.
Like he's knew decent. Like he's boys with Earl Simmons. Earl.
Yeah.
Earl.
Yeah, he approached me and said, "How you doing, sir?" As I was walking through the hallways of court, probation violation, Earl Simmons, "How you doing, sir?"
You know, he's not a bad actor. Nice shirt. I don't think Ocho Cinco would be a bad actor, you know?
Really? I mean, if you're asking for the genre, what
can we
doing.
Mute? Can we mute his mic?
Please, please, because he took one too many.
I don't think Ocho Cinco could run routes anymore because he got him hanging. After the break, we'll have more of Roland Hill, Dave Lockhart, and myself, Damian Anderson, here on the Planet Gridiron Radio on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey son, why so down?
Well gee golly dad, coach doesn't let me play, I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well here son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks Pop, you're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com,
where football lives.
Hard Hitting Radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard Hitting Radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Welcome back to Hard Hitting Radio with your host, Damian Anderson.
Well, we just had a colorful segment talk about the NBA Finals, but we got to shift gears real quick before we get back to Jay Graves.
Kardashian wedding?
No.
No.
Not even interested.
That mic was supposed to be paused.
Exactly.
It's supposed to be muted.
Hello, Mr. Engineer. Mute. Mute that man.
Mute him. But no, we were talking, we were shifting gears of football. 23 carats. But yeah.
Yeah, who's counting?
He loved some Kim.
He gave up brass knuckle. He gave us some brass knuckles.
But guys, we got to talk about these sanctions. More allegations, Ohio State football team.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Let's just break it down real quick. They got USC. What happened to them?
Right.
What they got stripped of.
Lack of institutional control, and then they stripped them of 30 scholarships.
In Carroll.
And postseason play.
Postseason play.
To include the Pac-10 championship if they win their division, if you will.
Now we look at Ohio State.
Absolutely.
Is it? They need
to panic right now.
Really?
They should be panicking right now. Because what they have done is similar, very similar to... In light of the
But here's the difference, it should have came down initially.
Of course it should have.
Mm-hmm.
But Ohio State's worse because here's why. SC has always stated regardless of
why haven't the sanctions been as worse?
Well, they haven't come down yet, Ohio State, yet.
But they just were suspended. Oh, you mean they haven't come down?
They haven't come down yet from the NCAA. Now, here's the problem. USC is saying, regardless of whether we believe them or not, they didn't know. Ohio State is acknowledging they knew.
That Tressel knew.
He knew. And he lied and withheld the information. He knew that those players were ineligible, but he also knew that they gave him the best opportunity to be number one and maintain their number one ranking.
Okay,
and
so
he
you
did
fellas,
nothing.
You fellas
His
played.
Is worse.
You fellas played on the collegiate level. How rampant is this? I mean, you guys walk through the clubhouse, you walk through the
varying
gym,
degrees.
You know what's going
it's
on.
It's varying
I mean,
degrees.
I would really say
it's based on each institution. I would really say that.
We're talking about degrees now.
Right. Exactly.
I agree it's based on institutions, but the whole idea is somebody violating NCAA rules. That's rampant. That's on every campus.
I'm going to say this, because at Northwestern, I mean, guys come there. You don't necessarily get pro-ready guys. And by pro-ready, I mean that guys go to Northwestern to develop.
U of A is the same way.
Have education.
U of A is the same way.
They were, Dave. They were.
They were. I'm sorry.
U of A, they got dudes that come there ready to play now at U of A.
Maybe now, but not. We didn't have the whole.
I'm saying when you were there, it was more of an institution that was dedicated to developing players.
Because you had to.
What I'm trying to say is this, like, you got guys at Ohio, these 4 and 5 star guys that go
to
Ohio State.
They don't go to U of A, right, but they go to Ohio State. They go to SC.
When they were winning the national championship.
Johnny Rogers.
You're talking 1972. That boy wasn't even born. He was in a diaper.
We're talking about Lawrence Phillips. We're talking about Amon Green. When they were recruiting those guys,
those kind of guys,
it just didn't matter. I mean, they were going to get the 4 and 5 star guys, and by any means necessary, USC, you would go there and they would play 1 or 2 years, similar to basketball. Then they were gone.
Michigan.
I mean, we go to college to get degrees.
Yeah, most of you guys you were seeing at U of A and Northwestern, and still to this day, primarily you don't see kids but you don't see those kids leaving school early. Mm-hmm. You generally don't. You usually will see a class, and that's why I always said that when you have a senior dominated or Leighton team like a Northwestern or a U of A or even an ASU for that matter, that team tends to be pretty good because they are an older team that have played for a period of time. Whereas if you go to SC, you're going to have to get used to your roster turning over about every 2 years.
But when there's so much depth of talent, it doesn't matter.
Right.
I mean, we've seen with the turnover at quarterback, and they've been able to be competitive every year.
Sure.
I mean, even with Matt Barkley last year, they had a rough season. He still played very, very well and arguably one of the best quarterbacks coming back this next upcoming season.
Yeah, he's already projected as a first-rounder if he decides to leave.
What are some of the allegations or what's happening at Ohio State?
Another player came out. I'm not sure what his name is.
Ray Small,
former wide receiver, said that he sold rings
and he received
discounts for purchasing vehicles.
Uh-huh.
Now, they are getting better deals than, let's say, if Roland Hill, Dave Lockhart went on the same.
You're paying sticker price.
Yeah, they're not.
No, I can negotiate. Okay.
Well, you ain't getting Ohio State price.
Well, you ain't getting Ohio State price, right. Well, the issue there now with him, though, is he had some disciplinary acts taken against him. So he's more or less seen as a guy who is sour grapes.
He's bitter. Yeah.
Bitter
but,
guy. Uh-huh.
But hey, let me ask you this.
He's not lying.
Whistleblower.
Let me ask you this. Jim Tressel, let's start back from when he started. Already back to, we talked about this, Troy Smith.
Yep.
Allegations at the Alamo Bowl.
Go back further. Go back to Youngstown State.
I'm going
to
go Maurice Claret.
Yep.
You know, all the allegations. He said, hey, I tried to contact my coach. Remember? And everybody looked at him as very similar to Jose Canseco.
Yep.
Everybody was blaming him. What are you talking about? Never. Jim Tressel, never. We just won a national championship. And now everything's coming out now.
Right, right.
Everything's coming out. Right. It's like, okay, Jim Tressel really is this guy. He really knew what
was
going on.
He's no different than anybody else. And it's this portrayal, the hypocrisy that is beginning to irk people.
I just think it's the eyeballs. It's the exposure. I really do, Dave. I think because if they were playing and they were winning, people would talk about it, but he's winning. He's going out there. One thing you can't take away, this dude beats Michigan. He does, and that's what.
Oh
Ohio
no, he
State,
wins 10 games a
that's
season.
That's what I'm saying, and that's
and
what
he goes
the
to
Ohio
BCS
State.
Games.
Yeah, that's what the Ohio State faithful care about.
But
he
he's
beats
a cheater.
Michigan.
He's a cheater,
like you just talked about.
Do you think?
Yeah, but he portrays himself as though he's
executive producer
Ray Ellis.
He's upset about the Ohio State.
Yeah,
we got to talk about. Just call spade.
Do you guys think? Do you guys think that there's so much pressure put on these coaches that to win?
Of course,
they have a bad season and they're out. Let's get somebody else. So I mean, they gotta protect their job. You know?
Yeah,
but you could win the right way. And I don't know Jim Tressel. I don't know
if you can win the right way.
There's where there's smoke, there's fire.
Seem like it.
I mean, I went to Northwestern, bro. And yeah. I'll tell you this. I mean, I was highly recruited. Yeah, we had a lot of guys hired. I didn't receive anything extra. I had to go to class. I know Dave's team played competitively in the Pac-10, and he was with a lot of guys. He played with Teddy Bruschi and all these guys that made and played in won NFL championships, and as did I. You can win the right way. I mean, at Northwestern, you go to school, you play, you work hard, and we see the Michigans. Yeah, we see the Ohio States. We played against Nebraska when they were number one in the country.
Mm-hmm.
We saw what Kyle VandenBosch, what a number one ranked team in the country, how bad they beat us in the Alamo Bowl. You could go out there.
But you guys are a different story because you guys are intelligent. I mean,
within the rim of athleticism on a collegiate level, I was athletically limited. Okay,
I will say this. When it comes to understanding football, you have to be intelligent. You could apply those similar skills.
I mean, you guys.
But no, just
comprehend
I'm just not saying just Northwestern guys. I'm saying anyone that can go out there and understand the game, and especially at the college level, you could apply those skills and be intelligent in any aspect of the working force. I really believe that. There's some that need some social skills. Don't get me wrong. There's some, but in order to lift those weights, get up, run fast, do it that consistently, you could apply those things to the workforce. It's not about, oh, well, let me diagram this play and I know what Michigan's going to do before it happens. It's not that intelligence that comes into it. It's like, okay, I have to change up the play.
But you guys,
Dave, will you get it? Damien, will you get it?
Yeah, we critical do it. Thinking skills are
but
probably
that's not really applicable
developed
on the football field, Dave.
You don't think so?
No, I mean, athleticism dominates more so than
right?
necessarily
okay
intelligence
yeah, that's
in my
not,
mind.
That's learning
that's
a skill. When intelligence comes into play on the football field is when you're learning a system.
Or critical situations occur within the system.
Or for a quarterback, I think it would be for a running
see,
back.
I'll be honest. I think we give way too much credit to quarterbacks being smart. Because I stand by what I've always said. If smart was the key element, Greg McElroy should have been the first pick in the draft, and every year the senior quarterback that comes out of Harvard needs to be the first pick
okay
in the draft.
Yeah.
If it's all
no
about being smart.
Right.
It's about a balance, guys.
It's not a balance. It's more dominant. Are you trying to tell me that you would allow Michael Vick to teach your child?
Algebra.
I mean, it'd be pretty cool for him to hang out with.
Right. It'd be pretty cool for him to hang out. And he's a quarterback.
But no, I wouldn't know. I would not let him. But how does algebra apply to football? It does it. So you can't just compare apples to oranges.
Your thought process.
No,
how
it's
you,
not.
How you process your thoughts. How you know, a situation.
Generally.
Dave, what's it called when people learn through pictures and all that stuff?
Smart.
Kindergarten.
Osmosis.
But no, but I mean, not through pictures,
Dave
but through.
Said, Dave says,
but
law
visually.
School.
Visually, instead
yeah
of like reading. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Application. That's what a football player is. That's how we're developed. So, I mean, from day one, that's how we're programmed.
You
got
to learn okay from doing,
you,
too.
Okay.
It's
you,
more
played,
doing.
You played at Northwestern. Now it's
an
you
application.
Played high school. Okay. And you
yeah
go out and the coach is teaching
I'm gonna tell you
this.
Play. I'm going to tell you this. When I played in high school, when I made that transition to college, I did not know anything in terms of education wise and as well as athletic wise. In terms of a three technique, I had no clue what it was.
How
in terms
long did
of
it take you to learn a play?
Algebra.
How long did it
well
take
yeah, you
a year
did
to learn
yeah
a play?
A year? Yeah, yes, you did.
And
you
in Northwestern, how long did it take you to learn a play?
A year to understand the zone offense.
To understand, yeah, but that's a different
but that's
offense.
Your first year.
That's a different
what
offense.
Do you mean?
That was your first year, right? Or
I redshirted. It took me
right
a year to adapt. Physically, I was ready. Physically,
I wasn't.
I could go in there. I was strong enough. I was probably the strongest and fastest running back on my team as a freshman. But I had no idea what was going on. And we talk
you
about
had to
learning
learn the
and
process.
Had to learn everything. Had to
yeah
learn patience. Had to learn how to read the hole. I had to learn how to do all those aspects that apply to my game because I had no clue how to do it.
Yeah. I mean, that's why most of us back then were redshirting, though.
Right.
I agree.
Dave, how tall were you when you...
Same height as I am now.
Oh, were you really?
Yeah, I did not grow into more.
But he okay had that. He had that.
But I could get that bing, 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 ricochet rabbit in. So, yeah, I was 5'8", and I've been 5'8", ever since. You
he
know
had that beer on.
You're stretching it a little bit, Dave. 5'8", 5'7".
Not 6'8".
I used to be 5'7".
I measured it 6 to 8 inches every time. So
there it is.
There it is.
I give everybody my combine height. My combine. I swear I was 6 foot in high school, though. On the game program,
with your shoes
I was,
up? Yeah.
He came in 5'10 and 7'8" by the time it was done.
I remember I went to Notre Dame on a recruit trip. They're like, shrunk a little bit, huh?
you don't know? 195 down to 155 when I got there. So, you know.
What do you think is going to happen with Ohio State?
One, the coach needs to be and should be fired. Probably will result in him being fired. And
does he resign?
Sanction.
Hey, do you think there's a place for him to go? I mean, like a pro team? Any pro team?
He could go to a pro
like
team. Like,
no.
To a pro he could go to a pro
no
team like Kevin Sampson did. That's where he is now. I know we're talking basketball there, but
right
he's not in.
Do you think
yet
that he's not as a head coach?
No, no, no. He can be on someone's
oh, yeah
staff.
I'm just like,
because he we.
You don't think he can be a head coach?
Not
where
the pro level?
In the pro level?
No, not him. No,
no,
no, no,
no.
First of all, his diversity in terms of how he in game planning.
Yeah,
that wouldn't work in the NFL. What he does. He can do that at Ohio State because he
does
gets better athletes.
Because it's best talent. They
he
have the recruiting,
best talent.
Top 10 recruiting classes every year. That's yeah why you can do that.
Because they're not dynamic. If you look at them
no,
on offense,
not at all
they're not dynamic at
not
all.
Not at all.
You know?
And, when it's like run right, run left, okay, deep pass. We need a first down, Terrell, take off.
Right. And I understand you have to do that to some degree when you play in inclement weather. Okay, I remember Tom Osborne said that we were primarily
but they were limited. you can't.
You're limited,
it's
right?
It's very similar to this past Nebraska team that we saw with Taylor.
Yeah,
you know, running it. I mean, they were ninth in the country in rushing offense in the
190th in pass.
Yeah,
right,
in pass.
Right.
So I mean, when they're going to have to find a way to pass the ball.
Right.
When they transition to the Big Ten.
You mentioned Claret. Where is he now? What a sad
he's in jail.
Story.
He's back playing with the Nebraska Nighthawks of the
oh, is he?
UFL.
Oh, is
yeah
he?
Yeah.
Good. He's
yeah
back on the field.
He's back on the field. Yeah. And apparently he has
changed
come to
ways
grips. Well, from what we see now, he said that jail was good for him. You know, you see him working and doing things in the boys club and the community
rehab
and,
yeah,
you know, things of that nature. So,
that's
you know
good
what?
That's good
for
story
him. Exactly. Good for
him. We ought to get him on the show.
Let's try. You're the booking agent.
Yeah. I'll get him.
There it is. For segment two, it's a wrap. We'll be back with more Jay Graves from Planet Gridiron, Dave Lockhart, Roland Hill, and myself,
Can you
Damian
it?
Anderson.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
The job of a professional athlete is never complete. In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Welcome back to Planet Gridiron Radio with your host, Damian Anderson.
And as always, we like to do right about 12:34.
Right about now.
Mount Sanitai. We'd like to welcome to the show Jay Graves from thejgravesreport.com. Jay, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, fellas? How they treating you?
I can't complain. It's beautiful weather, man. It's 90, 100 plus out here. I mean, it gets a little hot, but I'm not complaining.
We all go into Walmart after the show.
Man, I always hear you guys talking about how good the weather is, man. It's 60 degrees here.
Well, that's beautiful.
You know,
that's not bad.
That's okay, but we don't get what you guys get, you know?
Yeah, but then you got to deal with that 130, 120
at
when you burn.
When you burn
yourself in the car.
At night.
So, Jay, you always drop some blogs on thejgravesreport.com. So, you had a couple. Let's break down the first one. You call it the hot joint of the week. The First Amendment can't get you hurt. Fans can just say what they want. Talk about it.
Oh, yeah. I'm always blown away that fans think that they're entitled to show up at a ball game, holler and curse players out, and then get upset when the player turns around in the heat of the moment and says something crazy to him. You know, I don't condone what Joakim Noah may have said to the fan, but we have no idea what the fan said to him.
But we've seen certain situations where this happened. We saw Ron Artest go in the stands. We've seen that happen, but think about it. This is things that have happened. I mean, you've always seen or heard things from the fans. I mean, even at the college level, I've heard profanity used. I mean, in high school as well. But you go out there. I mean, fans pay their money. You go out there and get it done. I mean, they're gonna do everything that they can to get you out your game.
And you know what? You're exactly right. But what people have to realize too is that just because you buy a ticket doesn't give you the right to be disrespectful. I've been to games where fans have said anything and everything. You got your children there with you, and they're just clowning, and, you know, they're drinking alcohol. That's one reason that I really like going to the college games, because they don't serve alcohol at the game. So by second quarter, a lot of these people are sobered up. But when you're in a pro game, I mean, these guys are drinking up through the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ridiculous. And so I always say, you have the right to say whatever you want to say.
As long as you can handle the consequences.
Exactly, because what they don't realize, Dave, is this. Many of these guys, I would say 80 to 90% of the guys playing professional football and basketball come from ghettos all over America.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and they a lot of these guys, because they're so young, aren't that far removed from the street.
Okay.
So he's on the bench, and you're talking about his mama. He may just jump up and there's always the possibility of it happening. I'm just happy to see that Ron Artest was the only guy to jump up and go after a fan.
Yeah, but you know, when you're a pro athlete, you have certain responsibilities. You know, you got to hold things together because that's a part of playing the game too. You know.
Yeah, but you don't have to be abused. I disagree with the idea.
I agree with you.
You don't have to be abused.
There's a certain amount of control.
Absolutely, it's all about respect. I mean, it's the same thing if you're walking down the street. I mean, if someone disrespects you, you feel inclined to
let them know they did.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't use those terms, those strong words, but I would just say you're going to show them that you deserve respect.
But most people are going to hate on a pro player anyway.
Absolutely. You know? There's a time and a place.
There's jealousy, you know?
And don't get me wrong, fellas. I'm not saying that the fans can't have fun and do what they're doing. All I'm saying with this blog is the First Amendment can get you hurt. There's always the possibility of some guy, you know, flipping out on you. It's almost like, I use this analogy in the blog, it's almost like the kid that goes to the zoo that starts spitting and throwing things at the cheetah.
Right.
And the cheetah just sits there and waits on him, let him get comfortable enough to get close to the cage, then he just tears him apart.
Right.
Now whose fault is that?
That
is
happened at the Gary Zoo? They got cheetahs.
That is happening at the Gary Zoo.
they got cheetahs at the Gary Zoo.
Yeah, they got Great Danes at the Gary Zoo.
But no, Jay, I'd even say with this, we're here with Jay Graves from the jgravesreport.com. Jay, I would even say, even with the expansion of social media, and we got Twitter and Facebook and all these outlets, that it's even been more of a, I guess, a presence in pop culture, in American culture, because you see now, I mean, people are even talking. I mean, you go to NFL.com or ESPN.com, there's aspects of the site or even on the shows that talk about people's Twitter posts. I mean, even after the draft, you saw that Reggie Bush, oh, it's been real, New Orleans, after they drafted Mark Ingram for the Alabama, from the Crimson Tide. So
he knew it was over.
Everything that they say, but Dave, you and I talked about this, and that's for another show, but I mean, they need two running backs there. But anyway, I mean, even with that social media presence, I think it's often abused, that resource that they have for the players, because I think that they just feel as though that they could say anything, but they don't understand the magnitude of the words
and how far.
Yeah. What they say, the tongue is sharper than a sword,
right?
And that's reality.
Yeah, you could say, again, you could say whatever you want, but there's consequences.
Right.
There's going to be some consequences and fallout.
Just
it's
like
going to be fallout.
And
you know,
and
Mendenhall learned that. You know,
that kid? Was it in Arkansas?
Right.
Ask about the paper.
Talk about the paper,
But I think it's also due to the circumstances and how society has been molded, too, because I think that there is a truth to a lot of things that certain athletes say. However, maybe society isn't prepared to accept
it.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
To accept it. So, I mean, I don't know. So, Jay, you got another blog, The Jordan Effect. Explain.
Oh, man, you know what? I don't know if you guys have been hearing it in your circles, but over the past couple, 3 weeks, especially since the playoffs have really heated up, so many people are dogging Derrick Rose because he doesn't really have a whole lot of personality when he's in front of the camera. And so what I've been saying is, give the guy some time. He's only been in the league for 3 years, and he only went to college for a year, so
right.
That means he's a lot younger than the normal kid that's been in the league for 3 years.
Sure.
And so I talk about the Jordan effect is, you know, the fact that Jordan took the whole sports marketing thing to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
You know, before Jordan, you know, you had O.J. Simpson running through the airports with Hurst. You had all kind of guys doing commercials. But when Jordan first came out of North Carolina, came to Chicago, he was a country kid for Wilmington.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't speak very well. He had a southern accent, etc. But he surrounded himself with people that helped him to get more polished. So, you know, everybody remembers Jordan as the Jordan that we see today.
Jay, but I'll say this.
Jordan wasn't always that polished. You remember when he first did the Air Jordan commercial, the first commercial, Jordan didn't even speak in the commercial.
That's right.
And this is going to be my point.
You
Gatorade. Right, that's
Mars,
my point.
Mars Blackman.
Although he did have some coaching, Jordan, you never hear him speak much, or if any, because I think that they know that that may potentially hurt
some
the
limitations.
Brand.
It's some limitations to deal with
his brand. His brand, exactly. And, and you break it down and look at all the commercials that he had. Gatorade never spoke, but they had an amazing song.
Yep.
Morris Blackman spoke for him, Spike Lee.
Remember this? Do you know?
Right. Yeah, right. They had the professor come in and do that one. The McDonald's. It's very limited with what he did.
Even Space Jam.
Yep.
That's right.
He did a whole movie and spoke about 100 words. Whole movie for 3 hours.
Just dunk, bro.
That's right.
Just dunk.
So, my point to everybody and everybody that's beating Rose up at this point is like, hey man, give this guy some time. He doesn't have to be the most articulate, well-spoken, very charismatic kid right now. Over a period of time, he's going to get where he needs to go. And he's
going to
be fine.
But Jay, who else is there? I mean, if you think about guys, I mean, to me, they're almost standoffish. I haven't really seen.
Dwight Howard is engaging in
fun. Yeah, he is. He smiles and he's engaging. But I mean, if you look at Kobe, you know, Shaq, I think commands attention.
But if you look,
that's Durant.
That's Durant.
Right.
But, I mean, but to me, I see Derrick Rose is a bit timid, a bit shy, but for the most part, he's articulate. You understand what he's saying.
Well, right. He's not in there splitting verbs or anything of that nature, but you can tell he's not comfortable.
He needs to come out of his shell.
Right. He's not comfortable, and that comes
And I think that would come if he wins, too. You heard Mike Jordan say a lot of stuff after he won that championship.
It's a lot better. Right. You start looking better, living better, speaking better.
Boy, that's been good. That must be good.
And the one person that sticks out in my mind that really took the Jordan effect and ran with it was Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, Shaquille was rapping, making platinum albums, and couldn't really rap.
Exactly. With the Fooch Nickens.
He was a Fooch Nickens. I am a true Fooch Nick.
I'm a hooper. Hyper.
That's what happens when you got money.
He was the big breakfast guy on McDonald's, and he did Pepsi.
Yep.
I mean, but he just took it and ran with it.
He did.
And when people have some charisma, man, there's more money to be made.
Does he have charisma? He capitalized on opportunity.
Do you think so?
He does.
He had Shazam, dog.
Kazam. Kazam.
He talked the whole movie. I mean, dude capitalized on opportunity.
Everything.
It was a whole Shaquille O'Neal movement.
It was.
And he
definitely capitalized on it. Because I remember when Magic even broke bad, said he need to be working on his game. Okay, that's how much Shaquille, you know, took advantage of the Jordan effect.
Right.
Okay, he did. So.
Right.
And you know what? Because he did, he will have a career when he retires, hopefully, which will be this year.
He said he wanted to be a sheriff.
Exactly right.
He said he wanted to be a sheriff.
No, he's going to do that part-time, too. So, you know.
You think about it, fellas. He's pretty much irrelevant in the NBA right now, but he's doing Comcast commercials now.
Sure.
And he's not even relevant.
Right. True. I mean, he's not perceived as the top center anymore. I mean, not even the top three.
Did you guys see the last game he played?
I saw him hobbling off. You know, hobbling off like he had corns. Yeah, he had corn and bunion surgery.
He's like, he was on some hot coals out there.
Exactly.
Them shoes look like they were like 37 inches, didn't they?
Yeah. But he's producing comedy shows and doing commercials.
Right, I mean, he has
a
life.
Man, don't say, because Roland, you know, you're in entertainment business. When it just has your name next to it as executive producer.
Whatever it takes.
It don't mean nothing.
Oh, it doesn't mean you showing up every day on the set, right?
That's a credit. It's like, yeah, I worked on that show. Yeah.
That was my show.
So, I mean.
That boy's good.
Jay, does it do anything for Chicago that D. Wade's even going to the finals, or it doesn't matter because the Bulls didn't make it?
Well, you know what? Like, I've been telling people for the last month, we've talked about it. You know, so many, the Chicago fans, I love them because they're passionate, but they're probably the most delusional sports fans in America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they don't, I beginning of the tournament for the playoffs, I said, these guys are good, but they're a year away. We talked about that before.
Yep.
At the beginning of this, I said, they're going out in 5 games. Why five? I'm like, you got to analyze the situation this way. The best player you have can't shoot, and all he has is a first step that's lethal.
He got the cradle,
if you
though.
Contain the first step and the cradle, then that's it. And these folks were just behind it 100%, which they should be. but you still have to learn how to watch a game and be an objective observer.
Right,
absolutely.
And to be able to say,
that's what
we're good, but we're not there yet.
Right, they are a few pieces away a year, and they're probably a year, maybe
you said
2 years away.
They're a big man and a two guard
away. Being extremely competitive, because you're seeing the steps the right way. If you look at OKC, they're gradually getting better and better.
I mean, I don't know. I think that they're dealing with more of a situation where they have Kevin Durant, as we talked about, being, you know, more of a timid guy who just lets the game come to him.
But is the star.
And
he has to carry
And
them.
Westbrook is trying to be the man.
He's trying to be what Durant really
should be.
Should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And
now, are you guys seeing this? I'm seeing that team has some internal issues going on as opposed to, you know, what everybody know. I mean, I just think that between Westbrook and Durant, there's some infighting, and I'm not sure who is the culprit.
I see it as Durant, like, hey, everybody know I'm supposed to get the ball.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And Westbrook's like, no.
Right. I agree.
You know what I mean? That's how I feel.
I feel that, look, they need to understand as a team that this thing runs through Durant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It does. Okay,
but you got one guy saying I'm an all-star too.
Yeah, when you grow up playing that way,
but
you know?
Unfortunately,
but Robert, there's some guys.
Everybody has a role.
Right?
Okay, Durant is the guy. He's
but everybody
feature.
Wants to be that guy.
But
you know,
everybody has a role. Everybody can't be that guy. And if you have an individual that can't understand the greatest good for the greatest number of people, i.e., team
like
first.
And I'll break it down real quick. Just like when I walked in the locker room and I knew what the depth, the rank chart was. Just like when Dave stepped in there, just like Jay, when you stepped in the drum line and you saw one dude that could hit the drums or the sax better than everybody else, you knew, okay, I'm going to be in the second row.
Right.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'm second drummer or whatever. Yeah. You know,
because I can't do that right now. And that's what it should be. They should know that team, their success goes through him. And we're going to take a break, come back for that 4-7. We got a caller, Jay Wags off the top rope. More Roland Hill, Dave Lockhart, myself, Damian Anderson, along with Jay Graves from the JayGravesReport.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm
bigger, faster, and stronger, and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on. It will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It Old School, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Welcome back to Planet Radio. Planet Radio.
We got a new show.
With your host, Damian Anderson.
Hey, ain't nothing changed but a name.
we got one of our faithful Jay Wags on the line. Jay Wags, how you been, buddy?
Doing good.
So what's off the top rope been like, man?
I ain't been doing much off the top rope, but I got a show on Sunday.
Okay,
all you Coca-Cola 600 fans, I will not be there watching it with you guys there in Concord. Sorry, I'll be in Moxville for $5 Wrestling presents the Tournament of Champions.
Okay. There you go.
That's Concord, North Carolina, correct?
Yeah, Concord, North Carolina is where that great Coca-Cola 600 is going to be.
Okay.
Which I do have a little bit of respect for somebody that qualified for there. A guy named Michael McDowell's from the Glendale, Arizona area.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, he got 33rd in the poll last night.
And he going to come in 33rd?
Yeah. Hey, he's starting for 33rd. He qualified, so I give him props.
No, definitely.
I was at the poll last night.
So let's talk about this. What's Kurt Busch, man? You know, Wags, you know what NASCAR better than we do. What's Kurt Busch going 128 miles per hour?
Was Kyle Busch.
Yeah, okay. Kyle Busch.
But it doesn't matter. If you're going that fast in any area when you're on the road, you've got some serious issues.
Yeah, and you got your wife in the car with you.
I bet you it was fun.
just imagine what he was thinking. His wife was in the car.
I don't care if you're Kyle Busch, God Almighty, or whoever. You don't have that right.
He does that for a living, though, Wags.
Yes, but once you get off the racetrack, you got to follow the rules like everybody else.
Yeah, but he had his wife in the car.
So you're saying Adrian Wilson can't go around.
I'll take us both out.
So you're saying Adrian Wilson shouldn't just go around tackling people because
he's seen him at the mall.
Just running into people.
Hey, that'd be a good commercial.
I don't think he should, but that's just my opinion.
So, all right, Wags, break it down real quick. NASCAR, who's going to win it, and tell us what you got going on this Sunday?
First off, with my prediction, I'm going to go with somebody from the Hendrick team is going to win it, whether it be Jimmy Johnson doing it again or Jeff Gordon. Dale Jr., Mark Martin. One of those four is going to pull it out, in my opinion.
I got one of the Bushes. That's what I'm going to say. One of them. I don't know the names.
Somebody
going
to win.
Yeah, one of the Bushes going in. All right, so what you got? You got off the top rope. You got what going on Sunday, Wags?
Sunday in Moxville, North Carolina, $5 Wrestling presents Tournament of Champions.
Okay, who are you going against, Wags?
Don't know. I'll find out when I get there.
Yeah, Road Dogg.
By the way, for anybody, after the DVD of that gets done, put out, hopefully they put the interview that I'm going to be doing there with it, because Planet Gridiron Radio going to get a little shout-out during the interview.
There it is. We appreciate that.
Hey, we definitely so. Any loves.
Guys, I'm going to give credit to you guys for helping me get mentally prepared for the matches.
There it is, Wags. So we'll let you go, man. Appreciate you calling in.
Y'all take it easy. Y'all have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Same to you, Wags.
Be safe, Wags.
Go ahead and peel some wigs. Handle your business, Wags.
That brings us back, ladies and gentlemen, for the fourth segment of the show. We're here with Jay Graves from the jgravesreport.com. Jay Graves, we got to talk about this NBA Finals. Who do you think is going to win and why?
You know what? I think the thing I love about NBA basketball is the best team always wins because you got to play the best of seven.
No, stop it. Jay, come on. What happened last year? The Celtics were the best team.
No, they weren't.
The Celtics ran out of gas.
No, they weren't.
So they weren't the best team. They ran out of gas in game six.
Okay.
Game over.
They ran out of gas. You can't be the best team. You run out of gas.
They're not going to win.
I think that the Heat is going to win.
Oh, okay. Now I'm your friend again. Okay.
See, I think the Mavs are going to win it. I think the Mavs are going to win it.
Dave, you were 0-for-2 in the semis, man. You pick Chicago and you pick OKC.
Yeah, hold on. Did I pick Chicago?
Yeah, you did.
Okay. Whatever, man.
They all running together.
It is. I thought I picked the LA Lakers, man.
It's running together.
Exactly, man.
So what does Miami have to do to win it?
Well, you know what? Miami, in my opinion, I think the biggest problem that OKC had was the matchup with Dirk. Dirk plays out of the perimeter too much, so there was nobody out there to follow him. Well, now you've got a guy like, say, LeBron James, who's 6'8", 260 pounds, can chase this guy around, and he's more athletic. So he'll be able to play defense on a guy that normally sees someone at 6'8", playing that athletically against him on the perimeter. So I think that he'll put his hands in his face. He'll shoot and he'll score his points but he won't be as deadly as he was against OKC.
But I thought he rattled Derrick Rose pretty well when he went up.
Oh, all that size and athleticism?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. I thought he rattled, because I mean that's one thing that you don't necessarily see from Derrick Rose, kind of we call it out of control. And I mean he was just
made him uncomfortable. That's what made him really uncomfortable.
A bunch of turnover, but I don't necessarily know. I mean, if he can do that to Dirk, because I mean Dirk's 7'1". You know, and they both got wingspans. I like what Dave said, and more of maybe a Chris Bosh on him.
See, I think he'll be able to abuse Bosh, because Bosh isn't as athletic as LeBron James. I think LeBron can keep up with him, and that will put a little pressure on Dirk, because Dirk is used to being out on the perimeter with a big man that can't move.
Okay,
so when you get a guy that's 6'8". In front of you that can move like a guy that's 6'2", then that takes him out of his comfort zone, in my opinion.
Do you think LeBron's a bit intimidating on the court? Do you think he intimidates some players?
I didn't see it from the Bulls. I didn't see it, because to me it almost I wouldn't say necessarily an equal playing field, but it just looked like he was a good athlete out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, he stuck to his game. He did a really good job hitting his free throws.
Some of the players, you know, okay, I'm going up against LeBron.
No, not in the finals.
No, I don't think so.
Not in the finals.
I don't think so. Not in the final, like you said, but in a from
they don't
a,
get starstruck out there
standpoint.
No, I mean, Roland. I mean, I know
not
that
a,
you,
not an
you know what I'm saying.
I know that for you, I mean, growing up in the band wars, that you guys, for us, we as athletes, you take that as a challenge. You're like, okay. From day one. You're like, this dude can't be that good.
Now, sometimes you walk back to the huddle like, damn, he is that good. Now, sometimes it happened like that, too. But
that never happened. That didn't happen to me once.
Yep, but he's going to have to show me.
Courtney Brown and LeVar Arrington, Happy Valley. Yes.
They were that good.
Yeah, they were that good. Yeah. They had number one defense in the nation, and it was like, wow, okay. Yeah. This is college football. I want to retire.
I got treated like that in track. You know, I remember going against Quincy Watts. And we were kids. Mm-hmm. And I remember this mutual friend told me that, hey, you got Quincy Watts in your heat. And, you know, I'm like,
Quincy Watts is?
1992 Olympic gold medalist, double Olympic gold medalist.
Yeah, our listeners.
So, yeah, 1992 Olympic gold medalist, has run the fifth all-time fastest 400 meters ever. But he was in my heat.
Of
the 200, we were kids in Philadelphia. Never forget it, we both were 17. And this guy was telling me how good he was. And I ain't going to lie, I was like, man, Chris Watts ever heard of me? Okay. Better heard of Dave Lockhart. I had to rescind those statements after that heat was over with, okay?
Right.
So sometimes it happens, but, you know, as an athlete, and as a competitor, you better bring your A game every time if you're going to do it against me.
What about you, Ro, when you were in Band Wars? Anything ever happen to you?
I was always first chair.
Oh.
But I didn't go to the big schools. I didn't go to Juilliard or anything, you know?
Hey, you
Juilliard. Juilliard, where that
is? It's Juilliard.
Where Juilliard is. But no, I've had a humbling moment, too, probably in track. Yeah. Also, high school, Babatunde Ridley. Oh my! You know, you see the times, and you know mine was like a 10-7, 10-8, and I seen his. It was 10-4.
Exactly.
Like that can't be right. That's hand time.
Exactly.
We got to the finals, and I came out of my drive phase. I looked up. He was finishing.
He was putting on his sweats. That's what Chris Watt did to me. He was putting on his sweats and was warming up for the next event. All right. As I was crossing the line,
he was doing the side interview.
Right. Right. For next week's meet.
But guys, Jay Graves, we appreciate you coming on the show, buddy, as always. Anything you want to plug real quick?
Hey, man, just holler at your boy, thejgravesreport.com. Keep coming.
There it is. We appreciate you coming on the show, as always.
Dave Lockhart.
Roland Hill.
And myself, Damian Anderson. As always, Jay Wags, thanks for calling in. Planet Gridiron Radio.
Happy Memorial Day.
There it is, on the Voice America Sports Network.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.